to have an order that we're going to go in. So I'll ask you to come up and share about the song before we sing it. Some of them are found in our hymnal and some of them we will just sing along on the screen. So first we are going to have Snooki come up if you would be willing. And she's going to introduce to us Calling My Children Home.
This is a song that I heard many, many years ago over there in the old church building. And I don't remember. Always have a frog in my throat. I don't remember the occasion that this song was sung for the first time that I heard it. I was cleaning the church on a Saturday, and this group of people, and maybe some of you were in that group, came to practice on a Saturday morning. And I would say there was probably 10, maybe 12 people there, all with beautiful voices. And then the funniest thing was that all of a sudden Dora Brunk walked in. She came to do something at the church. So when this group started singing their song, I just had to sit down and listen because it was beautiful. And then Dora came down and sat beside me, too. And said, oh, gosh, I don't know why I'm so emotional. Anyway, this song, Calling My Children Home. Raise your hand if you've heard that song. Were any of you in that group? You were, Evangeline, and you were too, Susan. Okay. And for some reason, now I don't know if it was Mother's Day, going to be on Sunday, or if it was Mother's Day, okay. But this song just really touched my heart, and to the place where Jewel had given me a recording from Eastern Mennonite High School, and they had that song on Calling My Children Home. Now, I don't know, Noah. Yes, but what I'm, the Chanticleer one. Okay. All right. So this song was introduced, I think, through Loretta Wilson to someone like Jewel, or I don't know who it was introduced to. But anyway, when that song was sung, it was just so gorgeous. And there's, I don't know if he's, I guess he'll just put the words up here on the screen, but listen to the words. And just when I was thinking about it yesterday, I thought about the prodigal son calling my children home. There might be two different or three different decisions that you come to think. Is it prodigal son or is it God calling his children home? But just listen to the words. They're beautiful.
Next, we will have, excuse me, the frog came to my throat. Twyla is going to introduce This Is My Father's World.
You'll find this on page 154.
So on Wednesday, you may recall it was a beautiful day. And I went to the Riverview Farm Park and did the walk around the figure eight. And then the grass had been mowed. There were pairs of bluebirds that were flitting from tree to tree, sort of as I was walking along. I don't think they were really following me, but I thought they were. And there was a mockingbird up at the top of the willow, the big willow, and he was singing so, he or she singing so beautifully. And the breeze was like in the shade, it was kind of chilled, but in the sun, it was just perfect. And I was walking along and I just started singing this song to myself. This is my father's world. And to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. And I sang as much as I could remember of the words. You know, I probably had the verses all mixed up. But this song has been on my mind ever since then. And I thought, well, I wonder who wrote this song. And so I looked it up. I've never heard this name, but Maltby, M-A-L-T-B-I-E, must be an old-fashioned name, maybe. Maltby D. Babcock, born in Syracuse, New York in 1858, died in Naples, Italy in 1901, graduated from Syracuse University and Auburn Theological Seminary, and became a Presbyterian minister in Baltimore, among other places. And there he was especially popular among students at Johns Hopkins University. But he ministered to people from all walks of life. He wrote hymn texts and devotional poems. And I did try to find what other hymns he may have written, but I wasn't able to find that. I took some phrases from a 1910 biography of him. Babcock was a Presbyterian minister. He was a clear thinker and a fluent speaker. Noted for his impartial charity, he reached people in countless ways and exerted a remarkable personal magnetism. While he published no books, it may be said that he lived or sung his thoughts. And I thought that for a song that just rose up inside of me as I was walking in this beautiful place, I thought that being written by a person like that meant a lot to me. Thank you.
So it's number 154 in the blue hymnal. This is my father's world. 154. This is my father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, his hand the wonders wrought. This is my father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their maker's praise. This is my father's world. He shines in all that's fair.
to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus who died shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one.
Next up is me. I wrote some things down because I want to be scatterbrained. So the song that I chose was Let the Lower Lights Be Burning, or Brightly Beams Our Father's Mercy. This was a song that, it was my grandfather's favorite hymn. And we sang it at his funeral. And you're not going to be the only one that gets emotional today. And after he died, for about a year, I fell asleep every night to this song. It just brought so much comfort. My grandfather was a waterman. He loved to sail. And my brothers used to joke because I'm named after my grandfather lost two children named Mary and Dawn when they were 11 and 13 years old. And they died from carbon monoxide poisoning at a sleepover. So it was very traumatic. And my grandparents were always, I just always looked to them and I just could not imagine the people they were and the people of faith that they were having gone through what they went through. But the joking came in because my grandfather was a boatman and he had a boat named the Mary Dawn. So my brothers used to tell me that I was named after a boat. But the scripture, so how many people are familiar with the song? Okay. So the scripture that I was led to as I was reading about this song was in Acts 26. And it's the Lord speaking to Paul. It says, Then I asked, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, the Lord replied. Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. I had to do a little research because the ocean is in my blood, I always say, but I have not had the opportunity to be on boats as much as my grandfather was. And so I was curious about the concept of lower lights and what that really was beyond just a lighthouse. So lower lights are used. A lighthouse has the upper light, and lower lights are placed in consistent increments to lead ships into harbors. And so they know if there's a light missing, that's a dangerous area. That is where the dark of night has settled and areas to avoid. So as I was looking into how this song is written, it came from a story that was told of a true story of sailors who had been out in a storm. And I think they were looking towards Boston Harbor and they could see the overall lighthouse, the high lighthouse. But as they got close to the harbor, the lower lights had been burned out. And the captain, you know, was, where are the lower lights? Lower lights could not be found, and the ship ended up in the rocks, and many died. And so the concept of the song, Let the Lower Lights Be Burning to Guide Our Ships, had me thinking, who are our lower lights? We are called to guide one another. We are the hands and feet of Christ. We guide safely to him. The great lighthouse is salvation, but God uses us to bring people closer and to see the safety, to see the light of the earth. And so the question that I walked away with this was, who have been your lower lights? Who are the people who have guided your faith? My grandfather was my lower light. Adam is frequently my lower light. When I am struggling, when I am lost, when I feel like God, I'm not seeing, I can see the big picture, but in our day-to-day, we get lost sometimes in those storms of life, in those rough years. And so we're called to be one another's lower lights. And this song continues to be a song of comfort for me. I will frequently find myself, there's a specific, I don't know what version Noah's going to play, but there's a specific video that I listen to and fall asleep to frequently on repeat because it just brings me comfort. And so hopefully it will for you today as well.
Brightly beams our Father's mercy from his lighthouse evermore. But to us he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the wave. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. Dark the night, our sin has settled, loud the angry billows roar. Eager eyes are watching, longing for the lights along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the wave. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. Trim your feeble lamp, my brother, some poor sailor tempest tossed, trying now to make the harbor, in the darkness may be lost. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the wave. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save.
Going to be found on page 71. Steve is going to come introduce Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
Classical music has been a passion of mine since childhood, and it started with a hymn. To choose one and only one hymn, it would have to be Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, which happens to be a tune that was birthed into this world 200 years ago this year, 1824. My first real memory of it comes from my first weeks learning the fiddle, the violin. And as soon as you learn the scales almost, one of the very first tunes, up and down the D string, is da 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 da. And my mom heard me practicing and said, "That's a hymn." And she got out the hymn book, which at that time, the one she played from was black, and it was number 25. And she played that on the piano for me. And once or twice, perhaps, when there was a hymn sing, I asked for it and got to hear what it sounded like. The book that I was learning out of said that many considered this to be one of the most powerful themes in all of music. And it was by somebody named Beethoven. So, for Christmas, my parents got me what they get a typical 9-10-year-old, a complete set of the Beethoven symphonies. And I learned where to drop the needle on the record. Remember a record, so I used to do that. And you would hear that wonderful tune. It would come in with the bass and the celli very low. And it would build through the strings to a powerful crescendo. And then that was kind of it. And the music did something else. So I would pick up the arm and drop it some back where I started so I could hear that wonderful string melody, that wonderful richness of sound. And it actually was some time before I let it go, let it play a bit further. And I didn't know what was coming, which is astonishing and amazing, but neither did the people in 1824. To put voices in a symphony was unheard of, but that's what happened. It comes in with a tenor and soloists, and then the choir, and it's joyful music, and it is the most, music is coded emotion. It helps you find an emotion in yourself. And Beethoven was the master. It's a fugue. It's joyful. It's wonderful. It's absolutely fantastic stuff. And yet, it was all in German, so I didn't understand it. So instead of hearing something like Freude schöne Götter Volken Trochter aus Elysium, I was hearing joyful, joyful, we adore thee. Why not? It turns out if you were to translate this into English, and it has been attempted, other pieces by Bach and Haydn and Mendelssohn that are in similar choral works have been successfully performed in English, not this one. It's in part because, and I'll take it from my German teacher's husband, was also a German teacher, and he despised the work. It's over the top in a way that only a German romanticist, capital R, can understand. It's just full of that sort of imagery. It's by the original words, and I think it's worth talking about the original here, because what's in our hymnal does have echoes of that original, even with the words. But Friedrich Schiller, writing in the 1870s, I think it is, about the time of the French Revolution, is still in the rearview mirror there, but there's still a concern. It's all about the desire for peace, but it's stuff like be embraced, all you millions, with a kiss for all the world. Seid umschlungen, Millionen, mit dem Kuss der ganzen Welt. Very over the top. So it's good that I didn't understand it. But, jawohl. Nine. Aber. It is the it is considered the national anthem of Europe. Europe. It's the anthem of Europe. Yes, it was the melody, not the words, were chosen as the national anthem of Europe. So that it's played for those purposes. You have a follow-up? Okay. Yes. Deutschland, Deutschland über alles, which is from the string quartet, at least used as a string quartet by Haydn. We think of it as glorious things of thee are spoken. So, yeah. A good question. You're a very good student. Sorry, I spent a decade talking about classical music on the air, so if I act a little bit professorial, and I have been an adjunct at times. Okay. Dankeschön. So I do recommend listening to the symphony, but be aware that the voices don't enter for the first 50 minutes or so. Now, as a violinist, we did a run through of the Beethoven symphonies 1 year, and the ninth, when you get to the ninth, it is by far the most complex, the most difficult thing to play. And then after Beethoven brings all those themes back from the first three movements, he plays that simple tune that a child would learn. It literally takes five notes. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. It's the simplicity of the piece. And those words, which are German Romanticism, yeah, it does talk about God. It is a hymn in its own way, but it's more of a Catholic and with a bit of humanistic things. It personifies joy, thy sparkling fount of God, daughter of Elysium, that sort of thing. It's not quite what we would sing on a Sunday morning, but Christians other times and other places would have had no trouble with that. It talks about standing before God. It talks about the joy of creation and so forth. But Henry Van Dyke, he lived up until 1933, from 1850s to 1933. He was an English teacher. He was a clergyman, a Presbyterian. He actually officiated at Mark Twain's funeral. He was a diplomat. And he's caught a lot of the same echoes from Schiller, and then Beethoven added a few words as well. He's caught a lot of that echo in a way that I think works fine with our theology and is good for us to sing on a Sunday morning. One of the things that made it the national anthem of Europe was the phrase, alle Menschen werden Brüder, all men are as brothers. Henry Van Dyke changed that, I think this would have been original with him, to brother love binds man to man. No, you don't see it in the current version. We need help with our translations, but there's still things here of siblinghood. All who live in love are thine. Teach us how to love each other. So there's still those echoes. There's also the echo of creation, the joy of creation here, and the sense of gathering in terms of imagery here. Mortals join the mighty course which the morning stars began. It sounds Beethovenian. So, yes, joyful, joyful, we adore thee. The Ninth Symphony, I strongly recommend. I'll give you some hints on that one if you want. But joyful, joyful, we adore thee is the joy of the emotion of joy. And that is theologically sound. It works with our theology. Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5, he has a whole list of things you got to do. And one of those things you have to do is rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee.
It's number 71 in the Blue Hymnal. Yeah, you can stand. Why not? You've been sitting the whole time.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, praising thee, their Son above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All thy works with joy surround me, earth and heaven reflect thy rays. Stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, blooming meadow, flashing sea, Chanting bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed. Wellspring of thy joy of giving, ocean depth of happy rest. Thou our Father, Christ our brother, all who live in love are thine. Teach us how to love each other, lift us to the joy divine. Mortals, join the mighty chorus which the morning stars began. Love divine is reigning o'er us, leading us with mercy's hand. Ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music lifts us onward in the triumph song of life.
Brought me back to my high school chorus days. I'm liking it. Finally, we will have Susan with song 327, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
After each one of those songs, I feel like I could say a whole paragraph of something in response. Yes, I was there when we were singing that beautiful song, Snooki, in the church for, was it Mother's Day? I remember, and all the mothers were crying, and I do see Loretta, so I know she's the one who brought it to us. And I was like, can we even sing this? Can we even sing it? And then, Steve, when you mentioned, I never noticed that Henry Van Dyke wrote those words or did that translation. And I remember going through my grandmother's and mother's things. There's a big brown book, a Henry Van Dyke book. And I think I still have it at home. And I was like, so, and the other thing, Mary Dawn, I think you found your people, because Peggy and me have a grandfather that was a sea captain, and his boat was the Emma Francis. We weren't named that. But your story with the tragedy in it, too. Our community is laced with tragedy, too, isn't it? There's so many things that we can think about that have to do with the sea, you know. Relatives of mine and others in here. And when I go to the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness, I was also thinking, wow, to bring that out in the face of so much that's terrible right now. You know, the people that have been washed out in Western North Carolina, lost loved ones, pets, homes, everything. Can they sing this? Can we sing it in the light of that? I had a conversation this morning, an old friend from England. He's actually Sudanese and called, and he's never called before. Just talked for a half an hour. He's the first person who taught me how to write my name in Arabic back in the 80s when we lived in Africa. And he's from the Sudan. He lives in England now. He's a lawyer. And he talked about how his family is completely displaced in the Sudan and the war. We don't even hear much about it because there's so much else that we're hearing about. So in the light of that, this song, Great is Thy Faithfulness, when I go to sing that, I picture my dad sitting next to me in the frontish right-hand side of the old church. And not when I was a little girl, but when I was a grown-up and moved back here and was choosing to come back to church in my own home church. And I'm thinking how the first song we had took us to the idea of being parents and missing children and all that, this song makes me look back, as Mary Dawn did, to the generations before. And I think that's how we know about the faithfulness, is because it has kept happening. And I would cling to this song when we were in strange situations in other places. But the other thing that this song means to me is that there is the mention of nature, sun, moon, and stars, the summer, winter, springtime, and harvest. We're so tuned to that. And as we are now in retirement stage with being at home more and enjoying our garden and everything, it's even more pronounced with us that we can enjoy one caterpillar that we saved and put back out on a leaf and it started to grow again, you know, things like that. It's just a small, tiny snitch of the faithfulness that God is to us. And something else, Twyla, when you mentioned that Maltby Babcock, I actually heard that name back in the Warwick River Sunday School when we were Sunday School superintendents with Dora Brunk. And Robbie and I went probably about 50 years ago. And I was like, Maltby Babcock. And now I've heard it again. I believe he said something about how to find your sermons. And I forget what it was you said, like what would be your way of finding inspiration. And I remember my own mother. She wasn't someone who was, you think of people being big prayers. She wasn't a big prayer, but how she would pray was a hymn. And I feel like that she was almost shy before God, and that if she took somebody else's words, I don't know if she was shy before God or not, but it gives me that feeling that when she takes a hymn and sings it, then she feels confident in her prayer. And I'm thinking, what else could we do this morning in Newport News where we would come together as we have just now done and raise our voices together? When do people even do that? And so I just want you to know that I treasure it. And I treasure the young people are making it all work on everything as well. And I did have a scripture which we discussed that maybe I would read. And I think I will read it because the scripture is, we'll do this then before the song. It sort of fits with the song, and it's Isaiah 55. And I always liked it because in the King James, it started out with the word ho. Ho, everyone who thirsteth. It always seemed like, whoa, that just doesn't sound like the Bible. Especially these days. But it isn't an invitation. Sorry, I've been a teacher too long. You really do. Oh, goodness. Anyway, it's Isaiah 55, and it sort of ends with the mountains and the hills bursting into song. So I felt like it was the perfect thing to read before we sing the song. I'm reading it, though, in the NIV. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, and instead of thorns, briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be the Lord's renown for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. And now we can sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
So it's number 327 in the blue hymnal. And I guess if you all could stand again, I think that would be good for this one. Number 327.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Yeah, that's right. He sure would.
For our hymn of response, it's number 544 in the blue hymnal. Number 544. This is one of my favorite hymns, so. I'm not a real talker, though, so we'll just sing it.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Thank you.
So our sermon response today will be hymn response. If anything struck anybody or they would like to share anything, now is an opportunity.